We're up to Parakhaf Hey. We have started last week, the beginning of Parakhaf Hey. Let's review the first Pasuk very quickly. Parakhaf Hey, Pasuk Aleph, Gamele, Mishle, Shlomo, Asher, Etigu, Anshe, Chizkiyo, Melech Yehuda. We begin our new section. This is the third section of Sefer Mishle. Sefer Mishle is divided primarily into three parts. The first part until Parak Yud, from Parak Yud until Parakhaf Hey, and from Parakhaf Hey to the very end. And here we have we mentioned on Friday, we just mentioned very briefly that this section appears to be, where we did the Rashi and the Mitzudos, appears to be a different section. This section appears to be not have been part of the original Sefer Mishle. The original Sefer Mishle appears to have ended with Perikof Dalet. And this was appended by the Anshei Knesses HaGadol at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni. And it was appended, and it was considered, to the Sefer, and that's why it has Gan Eileh. This also is considered to be part of Mishle, Shlomo, the Mishalom of Shlomo. And who is the one that copied and collected this information? Inserted. Who's the one that inserted or appended? Who's the one that inserted this section into the Sefer? It was the Anshei Knesses HaGadola that was transmitted to the Anshei Knesses HaGadola. Must have been how many years? 500 years from the people of Anshei Chizkiya. Melech Yehuda. Shlomo was the actual author.
They added it.
It appears that it was not available, the Rashi really says, right? This was not available to the masses. This was something which only the Anshei Knesses HaGadola had access to. They made it public. And the question is why? What's the difference between this part of the Sefer and the other two parts of the Sefer? So I saw in the article, I was reading it, it's very interesting. Some learned that this was too profound for the average man. And in fact, the Mishalim here, this section, if we study, we'll see it's a little bit, it's deeper. The Mishalim are more intense. They're more esoteric. They're more abstract. Originally, this was not meant for the Hamoin Am. Until this point, we're only dealing with the psukim, which the average man can decipher, can relate to. This section was for Yechidim, it was a private club. However, after the Korban Bayis Sheni, the Anshei Knesses HaGadola felt that it's important, every person should strive the best they can to understand the depth of this section as well. You know, it's like Michal talking yesterday about Kabbalah. It's like Kabbalah first became popular about 400 or 500 years ago. What happened before 500 years ago? What happened to Kabbalah? No one knew about Kabbalah. There was no such thing. Why? Not to say it didn't exist. It appears that these Sisrei Torah were for Yechidim. It was not public knowledge. What? Al Divrei HaEmes. It was a private audience. However, due to the intensity of the Churban, somehow it was revealed, it was used as a chizuk to strengthen. The average person was also granted access to this information, even though it's not expected that he should fully understand the depth of what it means. Here as well, they have the same parallel. The same parallel is, this is what it says, explains in the art scroll, is that until this point of time, it doesn't exactly say like this, but it alludes to this idea that until this point of time, this section was not meant for the Hamayinah. This was something which is a private information. You had to earn the right to be taught what we're about to learn in this section, and that's why it was not part. But Anshei Knesses HaGadola felt the time now had come where every person also should know what it says in this section. Yeah.
When you have a report and there's a disclaimer, full disclosure. And that's what
it was censored. This was, you know, censored.
This was not written.
And now it was revealed. Okay, that's one other new thing which I came across yesterday is the word hetiku. Hetiku we discussed. Rashi tells hetiku means to copy, and we discussed that the word hetik is not the exact word that we would expect for a copy, because hetek means you remove it from its original makom and transfer it to a new location. That's not what happens when you copy a book. When you copy a book, the original book remains in its original form. It's just that now you have an addition, you have a clone, a new copy. So the Mefarshim struggle, it does not to be taken literally, it's just an expression. It means to copy from one to the other.
It makes it sound like they edited it.
It's not exactly the original. It's not the original. Hetiku has a connotation that fits very well, is that what we're reading now may not necessarily be the original. The original was concealed, and this was transformed, was distilled for the average person.
Maybe it was just too,
esoteric.
Right.
It was too esoteric, and this was...
They dumbed it down a little bit.
They watered it down. Right, no, that's in the Chanami. So that really fits with a better translation of the word hetiko. Mishnah for dummies. Okay, but I... Okay, in the article, he says something very interesting. He quotes a medrash. I don't remember what it is. Is that the mashalim here in this section were originally preserved in a different language. In other words, hetiku is being translated. Shlomo HaMelech had many guests that came to his court, came to visit. Queen Sheba, Malcha Sheva, among other great people, came to his palace, and they had intellectual debates. And these debates and these discussions were recorded by his scribes. And the discussion did not take place in Lashon HaKodesh. It took place in the language of the visitor. So a king from a foreign country, Shlomo HaMelech knew all the languages, and these kings from other countries did not know Lashon HaKodesh. So when they came to speak to Shlomo, to discover his chokhma, he spoke to them in their language. And these debates, these mishlomo, were recorded by Shlomo's scribes in the language that they were spoken, a foreign language. And now when the Anshei Knesset HaGadol, or the Anshei Chizkiyahu, when they wanted to record them, they translated from the foreign language into Lashon HaKodesh. And that would give an explanation of the word hetiku. Hetiku in this context means translated. It was a translation from a foreign language to a new language, and it's not like the first part of Mishlei, which was written in the original, which was recorded in the original Hebrew. Okay, that's just another interpretation. Now, first pasuk in this section is pasuk Beis, a very deep pasuk. There are many, many midrashim, there are many more chazal, and it says, Kevoid Elokim Haster Davar, pasuk Beis, the honor of God is to be concealed. And to give honor to God, one is required to hide davar, certain matters. However, uchvoid molachim, when it comes to giving honor to a king, now who is the king in this context? Maybe he refers also to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll have to discuss that in one moment. Chakor davar, just the opposite. It's not ideal to conceal the matter, but instead one should investigate. One should elaborate. One should expand upon davar, the man. Now let's just see the basic translation in the Mitzudos. David, pasuk beis, kvod elokim, kvod Hashem. It is an honor for Hashem who lahastir devar gedulas roi mimuso, to conceal the greatness of his exaltedness. Why? Ki ef sharlovo ad hatachlis. It is impossible to fully relate the praise, the grandeur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore mutu lahamit melaharbois, and it is better to be memayit, to do less, better less than more, lahamit melaharbois. Uchmasha Omar, like it says in the pasuk, lucha, to you, Hashem, domia, silence is sehila, is praise. Aval, kavod melachim, with regard to kings, this means over here, a king of melech, bosar vedam, who lachkor dvar gedulas remi musam, just the opposite. It is an advantage, it is a milah to investigate the greatness of their exaltedness, hoil, since you can come to an end. It's finite. You can reach an end. Hoyl be'ef shalavo ad hatachlis imkain therefore, hamamit, one who is mimait, who minimizes, yichoshev ki ilu kvar bo aratachlis, a person just gives faint praise, it appears as if there's nothing more to say. Umutov laharbos milahamit, and it's better to say more than to say less. Now we have this principle on Pesach, and this is one of the more very popular questions on how are we permitted on Pesach. Because when it comes to giving praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have the idea of we have so Pesach is the exception because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to do the best that we can. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us HaKadosh Baruch Hu has instructed us to give praise, and that's why it is an exception. But otherwise, we would not be permitted to be misaper in the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For this, we have this example by in the Shemona Esrei. We say Hakel Hagadol Hagibar VaHanayra, and the only reason why we are allowed to express ourselves with these expressions is because of this last week's parsha in Parshas Veschanon, Moshe Rabbeinu said these words, Hakel Hagadol Hagibar. Bar, that's the only reason why we're allowed to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu with these words. Otherwise, that also would be a violation, because when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we apply this principle, Kevod Elokim Haster Davar, Hashem's greatness, Hashem's praise is infinite. And anything that we say will fall short, and by falling short, that is in effect an insult to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Tevi Avdai.
What? Yeah.
Was a
person got full of shibboleth and said, "Okel ha'gol ha'givu ha'norav ha'aziz siamtenu l'shvoched morei." One, a person was about tefillah and he added to the Shemona Esrei numerous praises. And when he finished, whoever was the amoru that was present said to him, "Did you complete all the praises of Kadosh Baruch Hu? There's a lot more you can possibly say." And he explained to him the only reason why we are allowed to say "Okel ha'gadol ha'gibor v'hanayra" is because of Moshe Rabbeinu. He said these words in Parshas Veschanon. Otherwise, we would not be permitted to do so. So therefore, you also are not allowed to do so. That's exactly in that. Where does that principle come from? It comes from this pasuk. This pasuk is one of the sources. There are many sources, L'cha Dumiya Se'ila, but this pasuk as well is another source, Kavod Elokim Haster Davar.
The whole Gemara is based on that. You have the Zugos don't have a title because it's the meaning to give them a Hillel. Yehuda ben Tabai, you don't say Rabbi, you don't say Rabbon, you don't say anything. It's Hillel.
Because of their greatness.
You say Rabbi, I mean, he's a Rabbi and I'm a Rabbi, you know.
We're not the same league in a Hanami, in a Samadhi. So in that interpretation, we look at them with the same as an extension of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kvoid Elokim Haster Dov. Okay, let's see Rashi. That's the exception.
Describing characteristics of Hashem, just describing what He did for us.
What He did for us, in a Hanami, right.
Which is mutter.
Okay, we're going to come to that explanation in one moment. I'm going to come to that idea in one moment. We're going to first do Rashi, then we'll discuss that. Okay, Pasuk base, Kavod Elokim Haster Dov, and Rashi, Kigoyin Maaseh Merkav Maaseh Bereishis. Okay, this really gets into what you just mentioned one moment ago. Rashi, and let's read the next words of Rashi, we'll come back to explain. Uchvoid Molochim Chakor Dovar, Kishat Dorish Bechvoid Molochim. Oy bechvoid chachamim she'asu sigim l'toru uvegzero shegal shebohem yesh l'chol lachkor v'lidroish v'lishol tam hadavar. Okay, so let's. Okay, so Rashi here in the very beginning, let's just go back. Says that when it says to the honor of Kadosh Baruch Hu, Oshom Aleichem, welcome back. How are you? Okay, when it comes over here to Kvod Elokim Chasadav, according to Rashi, this refers to creation. It refers to creation of Maisei Merkava and Maisei Bereishis. Everyone knows why does the Torah begin with the letter Beis? The letter Beis is opened on the right, on the left, and is closed on the right, as if to show everything that came before Bereishis is concealed. It's not for us to know. Maisei Bereishis, all of the secrets that came before Ma'aseh Bereishis is not meant for us to know. Therefore, the Torah begins with the letter Beis, which is a dead end going back to the other end. Only Lemin Hayom HaShabara. From the day of creation and onward. And that's what the Pasuk means according to Rashi. When it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his existence in Ma'aseh Bereishis, meaning Ma'aseh Bereishis, before Ma'aseh Bereishis, that's not for you to know. Haster Davar. That's really how Rashi translates the word Bereishis. Bereishis does not mean, according to Rashi, in the beginning. It means during the beginning of the process, the actual beginning itself, that's not for us to know. There was a beginning, the world was unfolding, and in the middle of that process, Bara Elokim Es HaShamayim V'Es HaRetz. Unkelis translates it to mean literally in the beginning. And all of the Chumashim, except for the Art School Stone Edition, they translated Bereishis as in the beginning. That follows the Targum Unkelis. But in the Art School Stone Edition, in the Hakdama, they write that we're not following Unkelis. We're going to attempt to translate the words according to Rashi, and they have a different translation for the Bereishis. Means during the beginning of creation, Hashem created the Shamayim V'aretz. Okay, then there's Ma'aseh Merkava. That's the same idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chariot. We do not have any Hasaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's understanding. By the way, we once discussed at great length that when we describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are two different ways to describe Hashem. There is Hashem is Yoshev Al Kisei Kvoidai. The Kisei HaKavod, and then we find Hashem being described is Yoshev on the Merkava. What's the difference between the Merkava and the Kisei HaKavod? The Kisei HaKavod is stationary. The Merkava, Hashem is
moving.
He's in a vehicle. He's traveling, and that is a mashal for us that when the world is in a matzav of shleimus, then Hashem is Yoshev al kisei kvoidai. When we are in galus, Hashem also in turmoil, kaviyachal Kadosh Baruch Hu is not at home. He's also on the move. He's also in motion, bringing about change in this world in order to establish order. So there are two different descriptions over here. It's interesting. We have Rashi here says there's Ma'aseh Merkava or Ma'aseh Bereishis. Ma'aseh Bereishis, we find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the form of Yoshev. Hashem is on Rosh Hashanah. We don't describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Hashem is in the Merkava. On Rosh Hashanah, all of the piyutim describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Hashem is Yoshev al Kisei Hadin. He's Yoshev on the Kisei Hadin, Kisei Harachim, but Hashem is on the Kisei, upon His throne. Why? Because Rosh Hashanah is Zehayim Techilas Masecha. Rosh Hashanah represents the beginning of creation. So Rashi here is very deep Rashi. Rashi says, Kvod l'kimasa upon Him, Kvod Ma'aseh Merkava, U'Ma'aseh Bereishis. Ma'aseh Bereishis refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Yoshev on the Kisei HaKavod.
That's the difference between Yishai and Yechezkel.
Yishai saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the Kisei, and Yechezkel saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Merkava. Two different types of yeshiva.
In Golos.
So two different types of yeshiva, and that's also alluded to over here. And both of these things, understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the scripture HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he's Yeshav Kisei Kvodai, and on the Merkava is something which we do not understand, and not for us to darshan. Okay, then, or at least not to darshan publicly. And then Kvod Moch Mechak Rodover, so then first, Rashi first goes off and he says that the Melachim, Rashi's first interpretation, is not referring to the Melech Malchim Lachim, it is referring to the Rabbanon. Man Malke Rabbanon. Who are the kings? Be Melachim Yimloichu. Who are the kings? The Rabbanon. When the Rabbanon issue a halacha, when they make a takana, a gzera, it is incumbent upon us to darshan, to explore the depth of their takana. With the words of Rashi again, Chvod Melachim Chakor Davar. Kesha'ata Doresh B'chvod Melachim. They make fences for the Torah, takanos, Siyagim says Siyagim. Siyagim l'tayr l'gzeru shagaz shabuchem yesh l'chol l'achar b'lidrash l'shol tam l'davar. You shall explore, investigate, expound, and ask to understand the reason for this matter in order to have an understanding. However, now Rashi is just going back to the previous Rashi, Avul kishay tidrosh b'maisei merkava uv'maisei bereishis uv'chukos hakesuvim b'Torah chagoyin, for example, chukim u'dvarm shasatim mekatreg alehem. This week's parasha, Parah Aduma is the quintessential chok, a mitzvah which has no logical understanding. It's not for us to explore, because we're not going to get anywhere. We're not going to understand the reasoning. And the more we question, the more problematic it's going to become. Mekadreg Aleim, the Satan, the Goyim there, the Katreg, why do we fulfill these laws? Umeshev Aleim, he gives examples, Bachilas Chazir, the Kilei Kerem, Meshatnes. So in regard to Chukim, Ein L'chol Lachkar, there's no requirement for us to fathom the depth of these reasons. Rak Lahastir V'Leimar, Gezeras Melechu, these are the Gezeros of the Melech. Okay, so this is Rashi's first interpretation. Rashi is bringing up the pasuk. The first part of the pasuk refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Melech Malchei HaMelechim HaElokim. And the second part of the pasuk, when it says the word Melech, refers to the Rabbanon, the Chachamim, their takanos, their enactments. Those things are for us to investigate. Now, there are many Ma'amarei Chazal. One Ma'amarei Chazal tells us that both parts of the pasuk refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elokim is Hashem, and when it says Melachim, refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what it means is as follows, a very deep idea. Everything before Ma'aseh Bereishis, meaning to define the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is beyond us. That is Haster Dova. However, Uchvod Melachim, the word Melachim in this context means our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu after He created the world, meaning Hashem's midos, His hanhaga, how He deals with us, that is chakor davar. There's no end, and that's really what you said before about the Haggadah. In the Haggadah, when we are giving praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're not coming to define His essence. We're not praising Hashem. Hashem is HaGadol, HaGibor, VaHanora, HaAdir, HaAzuz. We're not defining His essence. We are analyzing His hanhogos, His deeds, what He did to the Egyptians, what He did for us. When it comes to investigate and analyze and explore HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midos, that is something which we are permitted and we are encouraged to explore. Zekeli v'anveyu. The Anveyu is a contraction of two words, Ani v'hu. Mahu rachum, afato tehe rachum. Mahu chan, afato tehe chanin. You should imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is what the Medrash says is alluded to in the second half of the Pasuk, verse the first half of the Pasuk. The first half of the Pasuk is Kvod Elokim. Elokim has a connotation of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is beyond us. Haster Dovar. Conceal it. It's not for you to know. But Uchvo, the honor of Melachim, it's a term which has a connotation of our relationship, to see how He deals with us. Chakor Dovar, indeed, investigate, explore, understand. For example, the same, we don't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence. In fact, there is no word in the Torah that is the name, the actual shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole Torah is written B'Loshon HaKodesh. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, according to Chazal, is what's Hashem's name? Yud Kei Vav Kei. What is Yud Kei Vav Kei? That's not Hashem's name. That is Aramaic. That is Aramaic for Hoya, Hoive, V'yia. It's a combination of past, present, and future, but not even in Hebrew, in Aramaic, because in Lashon Kodesh there is no way we can truly and we can truly understand, identify HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's beyond us. We can only relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu indirectly by studying His Hanhagos. So even the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Yudke Vavke, is a translation, so to speak, of our understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, now there are other ideas in Haster, in Chvoid Melachim Chakor, in Chvoid Elokim Haster Davar. The beautiful Medrash. The Medrash says that this is the reason why korbanos can only be offered in the Beis Hamikdash. This was a very great challenge for Klal Yisrael after they came into Eretz Yisrael. Us, Klal Yisrael, unlike the Umos HaOlam, are only allowed to offer korbanos inside the Beis Hamikdash. If a person brings a korban outside the Beis Hamikdash, there's a chiyuv kares. And Bizman Shabbos Hamikdash Yekam was a very great nisayon that you have to go all the way to Yerushalayim. It's a very great distance to bring a korban. Why? So the Medrash says, because to bring a korban is a very delicate. We don't appreciate the marriage because we don't really understand what a carbon is. To us, the carbon, what is an animal sacrifice? What does that accomplish? But to take an animal and to take away its life and to offer it in place of our neshama, yeah, is a very holy and sensitive matter, and it has to be done with tznius. It has to be done behind, in close quarters. And Kavod Elokim Haster Davar is interpreted by the Medrash specifically in regard to bringing a korban. When you give honor to Hashem by taking an animal and giving its life to Hashem in place of your neshama, that's a very great kavod. And that has to be done Haster Davar. Conceal it. It must be done behind curtains, in the Beis Hamikdash, behind, in Yerushalayim, in Har Bayis, behind the Azara, behind close quarters. No one should see about this. Not like the Umos HaOlam that bring sacrifice to their gods wherever they want. I'll call Heharim HaGavoim, whoever they want. This is a different derech in serving Hashem. Another interpretation the Medrash gives in regard to bringing korbanos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands that we bring korbanos improperly because Hashem allows a poor man to bring a mincha. And not just a mincha, generally our korbanos are very small. What is a mincha? You bring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu just a fistful of flour. If a goy, a non-Jew, sees another Jew bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu a fistful of flour, they'll make litzanis. That's how you serve your God. All you give Him is just a small amount of flour. That's what kind of sacrifice by us, by the goyim. We bring our own children, moilach. We bring them our children as sacrifices. We bring gold and silver. We have these requirements. And you Jews, all you bring Kadosh Baruch Hu is just a small amount of flour. And the answer is, that's right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need our money, doesn't need it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants our hearts. He wants our machshava. And a non-Jew does not understand this principle. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, therefore, bring your menachos, and for that matter, bring all of the korbanos that I ask of you. You should bring it in haster davar, bring it Bring it quietly, bring it in a place where no one sees, only in the Beis Hamikdash, behind closed doors. Okay, another medrash that interprets this pasuk, a very popular topic for Darshanim, is the revelation of the Zman of Moshiach. When will Moshiach come? So it appears that throughout the ages there were individuals who knew when the Kates of Moshiach will be. And they were warned, or they refused to reveal this information based upon this pasuk. The first one to be made aware of the time of the geula was Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu told his children, "Hey Osfu, v'yagidu lochem eis ha'shayiku lochem v'yachar sayanim." Rashi in that pasuk comments, it was revealed to Yaakov the Kates, the Zman of Mashiach. And Yaakov Avinu did not reveal the Zman. The Ruach HaKodesh left him, because why? The Medrash cites this pasuk, "Kivoid Elohim haster davar." The time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor will be revealed. What do we say? The Seira'e, Alain, the Seira'e.
Alecha.
Alecha. That's the impostor, the impostor of Uchvod Malchuscha. Okay, with the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus, this honor, will be revealed to the world, which is the time of the coming of Mashiach, that moment should be concealed based upon this pasuk, Kavod Elokim Haster Dovar. Now, even though that's true, I'm going to tell you when Mashiach is going to come. My brother told me that in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Zilberstein, everyone knows Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, he is the son-in-law of, I think, Rabbi Yashiv, is that correct? He's a very, very, very famous person in Eretz Yisrael, tremendous Talmud Chacham. He wrote many, many svarim, and he spoke recently. He said that he was told that Rabbi Chon Wasserman was in America exactly 70 years ago. 70 years ago, he was here in America raising money. It was right before the war.
75 years.
And he said that Al Pi Ruach HaKodesh is what he said. Al Pi Ruach HaKodesh, he knows. And the question was, what did he mean by that statement, Ruach HaKodesh? Does it mean that his own Ruach HaKodesh? Or he meant from the Ruach HaKodesh from the Chofetz Chaim? Ruchon Awas was a Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim. That the Kates of Be'ita, the last moment Mashiach can possibly come, is in 10 Shemitahs, at the end of 10 Shemitahs from the time that he was here, which is exactly 70 years ago. This year is a Shemitah. I think he came in a Shemitah year. He was here in a Shemitah year, like this year is a Shemitah year. And Chazal say Mashiach will come after Shemitah, the year after Shemitah. And he said in 10 Shemitahs, which is 70 years. And this is what's different. He said it's the Zman of Be'ita. In other words, there are two Zmanim for Mashiach. There's Achishena and there is Be'ita. We've all heard many stories of Gedolei Yisrael throughout the ages. There are books written on this. When they made announcements, they made calculations, and now it was a Zman of Mashiach. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean it was a Zman of Be'ita, it was a Zman of Achishena. Mashiach doesn't come. We have a tradition, it will come at 6,000 years. But it can come Hayoim, it can come today if we really want it to come. But he said that the Zman of Be'ita, the last moment Mashiach can come, will be 10 Shemitahs from the year that he was there. And he says he knows this Al Pi Ruach HaKodesh, seemingly from the Chofetz Chaim. That's what he said. And that means Mashiach should come by the latest, by next year. So Rabbi Zilberstein, he said this in the Shir. He says this is what he was told, and he doesn't know if it's true. He doesn't know, and he's asking the Tzibur if there's anyone out there that can validate, can verify that this story is true, please come forward. This is what he was told. It's very interesting whether it's true or not. It's very spooky story. Not that I've heard of. Not that I've heard. And this is what Rabbi Chanan Wasserman said when he was in America. Okay, it's an interesting story, but Kvod Elokim Haster Dover, generally speaking, throughout the ages, people who knew when Mashiach would come were instructed. There are spooky stories about different people who seemingly did know when the Kates would come and wanted to reveal it, and some very strange things happened to these people, and they were silenced or not able to reveal the Zman of Mashiach.
And others who made predictions?
Well, the people who made predictions, they didn't make predictions that it's the absolute Zman. Many of the predictions that were made by Gedolei Yisrael throughout the ages were statements that it's a Zman, it's an Eis Rotzon. That according to their calculation, according to events that are unfolding in this world, and other sources in Chazal, it is a zman, it is an eitz rotzon. If we want Mashiach to come, it will come. You don't have to do that much for it to come. If it was not an eitz rotzon, even if you would want it to come, it would not necessarily come, because there are other factors that are preventing it from coming. But at this moment in time, the situation is such that if we will just want it to come, all the other things that would ordinarily prevent it from coming, we put aside and it will come. But not that it will absolutely come. This is a very unique statement that I've heard from Zilberstein, where he's telling us not that it's an achishena, that it can come before its time, that this is the zman of be'ita, when it cannot, when it has to come, the latest moment when it will come. Rabbi Reisen once gave a beautiful share where he said that we have a tradition in Chazal that Mashiach has to come by the year 6000, which is in less than 200 years. Has to come by the year... No, 6,000. 6,000. And then it's going to be... So Reisman's thesis was, he went through, I think he gave 10 examples in history where people made calculations of where something had to come by a certain period of time, and they acted upon their calculation, and it did not work out well. Let's say, for example, start with a Shevet Ephraim. In Mitzrayim, they made a calculation that the Gula has to come after 400 years. Yadoa Teda Ger Yerzerach BeEretz Lelhem, for 400 years. So they made a calculation of the time of Leidas Yitzchak, and they decided now it's time for the Gula, and they left Egypt 30 Brisbane Absarim. They made the calculation. They left Egypt 30 years early before the rest of Klal Yisrael, and it did not work out well for them. So he gave different examples. So his basic thesis was that who says we really know what the number 6,000 means? What would happen, chas v'shalom, it would come the year 6,000? What are people going to do? People are going to say it's the year 6,000. The most basic Ma'ariv Chazal we have is that the world is only 6,000 years. And what would happen if Mashiach wouldn't come? It would be a very big nisayon. But the truth is, it's not a nisayon, because this is nothing new. The calculations, we don't know, we don't even know exactly what the year is. We think it's Tav Shinayin Hey. That's also not absolute. There are missing years in the calendar. Rav Schwab has a discussion about the missing years. Someone recently published a book also trying to decipher the missing years in the calendar. We don't know exactly what the calendar is. That's why we say by Achasna, Leminyin Sha'onu Moinin Kan, according to the number that we count here. Why does that expression added to the Ksuba? Because who says that the calculation of the world is 5,775 is accurate? Maybe it's not accurate. Maybe there's a number. But according to the calculation that we are familiar with in this location, that's the way we refer to the date. So there's no guarantee. And the only mussar is to learn from this pasuk, Kavod Elokim Haster Davar. These things are not important. The time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor will be revealed to the world, the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus to the world, is something for us to put aside, Haster Davar. We can homiletically interpret it that it's a command, put it away, hide it. It's not critical for life. There are much more important things in life. Doing the mitzvahs, Torah u'mitzvos, is much more important than knowing when the Kavod Elokim, that moment in time, will come. And the something you want to focus on the Kvod Melochim Chakar Davar, that is something that a person indeed should focus on. Okay, I saw, I think, a drush on this pasuk, Kvod Melochim Chakar Davar, fits very well into last week's parasha, Vihi Bitu Acharei Moshe. It's Machlokes in the Gemara, when it's pasuk in last week's parasha Kisisa, they looked at Moshe Rabbeinu, was it L'Gnai or L'Shvach? That some people have a tendency always to criticize Talmidei Chachamim and to dissect them, to super magnify their minor imperfections. We all know that there's no such thing as someone who is perfect. In Tzadik Ba'aretz Asher Yaseh Toiv V'lo Yecheta, but it's not the business of every Tom, Dick, and Harry to find all of these minor imperfections and magnify them and reveal them to the world. And that's what the pasuk here of the Echdush comes to Lutu, that when it comes to, when you come to people who are Talmidei Chachamim, don't focus on the Chesronos. If you want to explore and say nice things. The implication is, when it comes to the chesronos, if the chesronos are not, don't have a nafkamina, they're not a danger to society, they're not predators, and they're not child molesters, or things like that. Okay, so they made a mistake. If it's not going to be an afkamina to society, then that is something which the pasuk here tells you, stay away. Only chavoid malachim chakar davar, not to look for their chesronos. Okay, there's one other. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk gimel. Shamayim lorum v'oretz lo'oimek v'leiv malachim ein cheker. The heaven above, the height of the heaven above, and the depth of the earth below, the lev melachim ein cheker. The pasuk similarly seems to be saying, according to one interpretation, is that just like your person cannot measure the heavens, it's infinite. Go to Shemayim, it's infinite, and just like a person cannot measure the depth of the ocean, it's impossible for a person to reach to the depths. Likewise, to understand, to comprehend the heart of a melech, the heart of a melech is beyond investigation. Now this pasuk can be referring to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the melech malchei hamlachim. There is no way a human being can fathom HaKadosh Baruch Hu's understanding. And also it can be referred to, even according to the Gemara, even to the heart of a melech basar v'dam. The decisions, the amount of information that is presented to a king in his daily intelligence briefings is so enormous, and the number of decisions that are required of a melech to make any given day is beyond the understanding of an average person. Let's see the mitzvot first. Pasuk gimel ein cheker ratzolamar. Elu shloishes hadvarim, doimim ze laze. The Mitzvah clearly learns that we're comparing the heart of a king to the height of the heavens and the depth of the oceans. She'i efshar lachkar bulodas. It is impossible to calculate the rum hashamayim, the oimek haaretz, the depth of the earth, the roichav lev hamelech, and the complexities that are inside the heart of a king. Ki harbin, as similarly the Mitzvah interprets this pasuk in reference to a melech basar v'dam. Ki harbin mishpatim bam lufanav. Many questions of many decisions are presented to the king. Ushar inyane b'nei adam, and other matters relating to human beings. V'tzorch los say slave l'kulam, and he has to pay attention to all of these matters. Rashi, pasuk gimel, ein cheker, ulurum shamayim, uloime karetz, ululev melachim, ein cheker, shekama dinim bohim lifnehem. A melech basar v'dam is presented with many dilemmas, many decisions. V'kama melchama is shichem los say slave l'kulam, and there are many wars that have to be fought. The imkol halashenis medarim, and if all of the tongues, Rashi is quoting a Gemara, Masechta Shabbos, and if all of the tongues of this world would be permitted to speak, to describe in words what is presented before the king, v'chol hayadayim kaisim, if all of the hands would be writing, describing what's happening in words, Einon yecholin lichtoif chalala shel rishus. It would be impossible to write the chalala, the depth of rishus of the government of all the various things that are taking place. This sounds like what we say in nishmas kol chai. And if all the quills, I read you over here what it says over here in the Gemara that comes from Shabbos.
But on
basar
v'dam, we do have
basar v'dam. What? No, even basar v'dam. What?
We're talking about a
melech basar v'dam. And
the word here is lev. No matter what the logic is, you can't figure out what's going on in Obama's heart.
The dilemmas to describe the words, it describes even the decisions of a government. The Rishus here refers to, the Gemara very clearly describes this concept in reference to a melech basar v'dam. Okay, let's look at read the word of the Gemara, the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. Omar Rav Bar Machsera. Omar Rav Chaim Bar Guya, Omar Rav, Im Yiyu Kol Hayamim Diyoy. Everyone knows this Chazal. If all of the seas, the water of the seas will be ink. Va'agamim Kol Moisim. And the swamps, all of the reeds of the swamps would be pens, would be quills. V'shamayim Yiriyos. And the heavens would serve as paper, as a parchment. For chol b'nei adam lav lorim, and every human being would be a scribe. Ein maspikim lichtoiv chalala shel rishos. It would be impossible for mankind to describe in words the complexities of government. Politics. Chalola shel rishos. I'll translate over here. He has a translation from Rashi. This is Rashi in Masecht Shabbos. Oimek libam shel hamalchus hashaletes. The oimek, the depth of their heart, the dilemmas, the decisions, the things that are going through their minds. The oimek libam shel hamalchus hashaletes, that's currently in charge. Shetzarech losim levis Rashi from Sechel Shabbos. Shetzarech losim lev lekama medinois. They have to pay attention to many different provinces. Lamas hakotsuv taxes. Ulekama mulchamos war. Ulekama mishpatim laws. Vyakol biyoim echad, all in one day. Okay, those are the words of Rashi, and the Gemara goes on to say, what's the source for this pas, for this concept that if all of the water of the seas and the reeds would be kulmasim and the heavens would be yiriyos and the people would be scribes? It's this very pasuk here in Sefer Mishlei. My kara, Omar Rav Mish Rashiya, Shamayim Larum, Va'aretz Loimek, V'leib Malachim, Ein Cheker, is beyond investigation. Okay, let's go now to the next. Let's go. What?
Only if they cover it up.
Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi says,
we don't see it over there. It's supposedly there everywhere, right?
I know the OU, I remember a number of years ago, they just went recently again. They go every so often to the White House to meet with the president, but I remember about a number of years ago, it must have been 10 years ago, when George W. was in office, and the OU sent a delegation to visit the White House, and they met with the president for a good half an hour, and there were about 10 people from the OU in the Oval Office with the president, George W., and he told them that what you hear in the news is only 10% of what's really going on behind the scenes. Okay, that is what I heard. Second, I heard from a person who heard it from the mouth of George W. George W., that's what he told the people. It's very powerful stuff. You hear in the news, I'm making big decisions, and you don't understand what's going on. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? If you knew what came on my desk every single day, you would understand. I can tell you 90% of what's going on. The world, that's national security for you to know what's going on. But that's how the world works. And he also told them some very interesting. He says to them, that was the time when they were, the election between Obama and who was running against Obama? Forgot already. Who was running against Obama?
McCain?
The first time around?
Yeah, McCain.
Not McCain. He was the second time. Who was the first time around?
McCain?
First time, second time?
Romney.
So he said that they both have no clue. The economy was very, very bad then. And he said they have no clue what to do. And what else? He said something else very interesting. What else did he say? I don't remember. Okay, it was a very interesting conversation. All right. It was very candid. He can't tell you what goes on, what the United States did for, right, what the United States does for America. Right? He cannot tell you all the secrets, what goes on behind the scenes.
He doesn't know either.
You have to actually read the reports.
Okay, so the pasuk here is coming. It's a very powerful Musar Haskel in this pasuk that's telling us to give the government the benefit of the doubt. That's what it says.
Khomeini is really dead?
They said he's not. They said yesterday. They said he came out in public. He came out in public. Was that from today? Or was that from 2 years ago? Did he come out holding a newspaper from today? You know, that's what they do with the terrorists. They come out holding a newspaper from today. The Shavuot still alive. I don't know, but they say.
Photoshop that doesn't mean
it. Photoshop it. Okay.
Newspaper. Tomorrow's day.
Okay, but there is a very powerful Musar Haskel. The powerful Musar Haskel is that you have to give people who not only the melech of a country, but any rough, any person that is in a position of authority, talk about the president of a shul, the rabbi of a shul, a local little shul. Usually there's more politics. The smaller the shul, the more politics. Right, I know a shul. The shul is the size of a needle. The size, the eye of a needle. And there's more politics in that shul than there is in the country, the United States of America. That's usually how it goes. And it says here in this chazal that when it comes to politics, you are required to give the people in charge the benefit of the doubt.
Okay, that.
That's what it says. V'leiv melachem ein cheker. You can't fathom. That's what it says. You can't fathom the depth. All of the decisions that have to be made in one day, happening in one day. There, everything. It's an extremely complex world. There's something to be said about it. Okay, let's go to Hapasik Dalit. Hogoi sigim bikosef vayetze latzoreif keli. Remove the dross from the silver. And then the kli, the keli, the utensil will come forth from the craftsman, the silversmith. A silversmith cannot make a beautiful utensil until he removes all the impurities. The impurities of the metal have to be removed in order to fashion a beautiful utensil. And this message here is that when it comes to this world as well, okay, let's read the second pasuk. The next pasuk, it really goes together. So that's a mashal for the next pasuk. Hagoy rasha lifnei melech v'yikoin batzedek yiso. Hashem's malchus will only be complete when Hashem removes the psoilas from this world. And what is the psoilas from this world? The rishoyim. We have this idea in reference to Amalek, that kiyod al keiska milchama l'Hashem b'Amalek, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kisei malchus, it will be incomplete. The hay of HaKadosh, the aleph of Hashem's throne is missing. It's case without the aleph until, and Hashem's name is incomplete, Yud-Kei, instead of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, Hashem's name is incomplete, Hashem's throne is incomplete, as long as there exists a nation called Amalek in this world, a nation that denies the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Same thing, the world will, that's what these two sitting together are saying, that just like when it comes to a utensil, a silversmith will not dare create a beautiful utensil until he first removes the impurities from the silver, so he has a product that is beautiful. Likewise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot perfect this world, transform this world into a beautiful, functioning world until he removes the wicked. Okay, that's the basic idea of these two psukim, how they go together. Let's see in Mitzvot Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Hogo. Hogo means Kamo Asher Yusar. Yusar means to remove. Hasigim min hakesef, the impurities from silver. Then yetze oz latzoref keli muhudr. Then a utensil that is beautiful emerges. Ki yuchal oz loakmai. Then he can bend it. Uliyashre to straighten it. Kefit tzarech hamalacha. Likewise, pasuk hey. Likewise, hogo means to remove. When a Rasha stands before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mateh es HaMelech La'avos HaTzedek, and the Rasha causes the king to pervert what is righteous. The wicked people are causing the king to act in a corrupt way. Kaviyachol over here, the marshal is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when they are Rishon in this world, it's called HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's causing harm. He's causing harm to this world. Rashi pasuk dalid hogol sigim mikasef moshuch. Now the word hogol means moshuch, to pull out. Kamo asher huga min hamesila, to be pulled away from the road, to be drawn off the road. The word there is used the same way it's used over here. Keshem she'en akli shel kesef yotzei lemelachas tzaref. The utensil is not produced by a silversmith, until the impurities shall nechoyche shemo. There's copper mixed into silver. The copper must be removed. Kain kach similarly. In tzibur, now here is another interpretation, it's a little bit different. In tzibur niftar in the oinish, the tzibur will not be free from punishment Ad sheyotzioi mitaycham harishoim v'yasu bohem din. Until we remove from the tzibur the wicked people and we punish them, then can the tzibur be rewarded for their good and can their tzibur be perfected. Okay, now there's a very interesting... Yeah? Together? That's what the mitzvahs means. The tzaddikim have to also suffer. The tzaddikim suffer in this world because of the wicked. Because of the wicked deeds, their wicked deeds, so the tzaddikim also suffer. That's really what the mitzvahs really alludes to. Mitzvahs says that the rasha causes the melech la'aves esat tzedek. He caused the king to pervert justice. It appears, now of course, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no perversion of justice, but to the human being it appears, Kaviyachol, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing tzaddikim, and that punishment is only coming because there are Rasham, that there are Rasham in this world. When there are Rasham in this world, there's Hester upon them, and it appears that there's an absence of Mishpat.
What the Malbim is saying though, is like when a king says something, and he has an interpreter, and the interpreter doesn't say exactly what the king... He puts his spin on what the king said. In other words, like the Chachamim are putting their spin on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah in its purest form, and they misinterpret it. So,
like Haman Achashverosh. There's a very popular medrash, Haman Achashverosh. Achashverosh told Haman, I only gave you permission la'abedes ha'yehudim with an ayin. La'abed with an ayin means to serve, to enslave. And you, Haman, told the sefer to write with an aleph. That's not a real interpretation because they didn't write the edict in Hebrew. They wrote it in Persian, whatever they wrote it in, Farsi, whatever they wrote it in. So all the shanis, but obviously that just alludes to that Haman stretched it. Haman used his influence to take the gezerah of Achashverosh. Okay, but it's just an interpretation, an elaboration. Exactly what you're saying is...
The non-Jews didn't know Hebrew, so they couldn't write in the Hebrew because they would have revealed all the information.
Okay, now there's an interesting Medrash. The Medrash says that in this world, there are bereishis baruch lo kimeis hashman v'yetzaretz v'horetz hoisa sohu v'vohu v'choshech al pnei sohom. We translate the word sohu v'vohu, two words for our purposes mean the same thing, emptiness. There was just desolation. A person, Rashi there, Rashi says that if a person is astonished at the degree of desolation, of emptiness, and out of nothingness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, v'yevolukim yihiyar, Hashem said, let there be art. So the world started out as nothing. And from nothing, Hashem said, let's build something here. The Medrash says something very different. It says, sohu v'vohu is not nothing. It's not the absence.
Nothing is actually something.
It's something. Tohu v'vohu means the world was disgusting. There was a world. It fits much better with the interpretation of Rashi that we, when Bereishis begins, when the world begins, the Torah begins very far into the process of creation. Before the Torah begins, Hashem created the world. There was Mayim, and there was earth, and there were a lot of things. And now, Bereishis, towards the beginning of this process, Hashem said, "Vayom Elokim Yihiyar." But in this part, in the part of creation, Hashem created something called Tohu Vavohu, which means matter, and it was disgusting. It was filthy. And the Tohu Vavohu is what the Medrash says is called the Sigim. The Tzoreif is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is the craftsman. He is the silversmith. And he wants to create a keli. The keli is this world. But before a craftsman takes silver and fashions silver into a utensil, he first removes the psoilas, the nechoshes, the sigim. The sigim of this world was tohu vavohu. That was the sigim. And that sigim was purged. And where did it go? That's already when it's already a fall. But what happened? But what happened to that sigim? It's not clear where it went. But it gives us a new interpretation that when the world was created, tohu vavohu does not just mean an absence of matter. Tohu vavohu is matter, which is equivalent to the sigim of the kesef, which Hashem purged in order to go forward and fashion the world with all.
Changed it into
from a color. Well, when it comes to sigim, you don't change it. You melt it. You melt it. You
changes
it
physically.
No. You
remove it.
You remove it. You remove it.
What happens with it? It evaporates. What happens to it?
Or you take it off, or you heat it up till it.
So where did it go?
Either dissolves or disappears.
It doesn't dissolve. It evaporates. Because you don't want it.
So where did it go? So this is just a new translation. Bereishis b'haaretz ha'yisa sohu v'vahu. The earth was filled with sigim, with psoilas. It's like a horror movie, right? They show the end of the world. They show this disgusting blob of earth. That's what it means. Tohu vavohu. And Hashem removed this the impurities, the psoilas, and then was left with pure matter. From that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu continued to fashion the world.
The fact that pasuk begins with v'haaretz,
yeah,
implies that there was something.
Well, Rashi very clearly says Bereishis means even more than that. Rashi very clearly says Bereishis means towards the beginning. The beginning we're not discussing. The world was created before the Torah began. In what form? That's none of our business. The world existed in some form, in a form that we are not from, and while it was in this form, HaKadosh Baruch Hu purified it. He refined it. He molded it. He changed it. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu remove to proceed to make the world a more beautiful place? He removed the Tohu Vavohu. And that is a mashal. Now that is a mashal. What's the mashal? What's the nimshal? The nimshal is, just like in creation there was psoilas which had to be removed, in the world that we know today there's also psoilas. There are wicked people which have to be eliminated. And this touches upon a very big debate among philosophers: is everyone good? There are people, there are politicians out there that believe everyone is a tzaddik. You just have to nurture them. ISIS, they're good people. They're good people. We can bring them into this country, and we can reform them. We can rehabilitate them, and we can give them benefits and be good to them, and then they'll be good to us. Okay, that's a big mistake. In Yadus, there's a lot of Makaras to tell you there's no such thing. In this world, there is pure evil. And pure evil has to be eliminated. There's no rehabilitation for pure evil. And to some degree, this pasuk proves this point. This pasuk expressed this idea. The world was created with something called tohu vavohu. And tohu vavohu had to be eliminated before the world can continue to evolve. And the pasuk explicitly says, likewise, in this world, there are evil people. There is no rehabilitation for evil people. They have to be eliminated. Amalek is mochoi emcha as zecher Amalek mitachas ha'ashamayim. A person says, I am Amalek. That's it. If you are Amalek, you admit you're Amalek, you eliminate them. There's no rachmanis. And any politician that says, we're going to have rachmanis on Amalek, it has to be eliminated. not in a violent way, in a political, democratic way, but that is definitely a very powerful thing I think we take for granted. But the more you read the liberal agenda,
that was the joke that I told you about, that
The Democrats, they don't know between...
Why are Democrats punter from drinking on Purim?
They already do not know the difference between... No, the difference. It's a bitter joke. It's a bitter joke. That this, and this is something which, you know, you read these two psukim, and it's explicit. Hogol sigimi kosef ayet silasav keli. Likewise, you have to eliminate hogol roshul of ne melech v'yikun v'tzedek yiso. Hashem's throne will only be established when you eliminate the psoiles the same way you eliminate the psoiles from silver. Don't think there's no such thing as taking the psoiles in silver and rehabilitating it and using it part of the utensil. Gotta go. Same thing
so
here as well.
Our job is it to get rid of the rush.
Our job. Your vote counts. Register. There are forms for registration in the back.